Now today we come to chapter 11, and last time we had some rather harsh things to say about King Saul, although we didn't seem maybe to have sufficient ground for it at the time. All we had was very strong suspicion that this man definitely was not genuine at all. He would have made certainly a good actor, but he never made a good king. Now we find, though, he had a good beginning. We find here in chapter 11, and I'll not go into a great deal of detail, but let me read one or two verses to get us into the atmosphere of this particular section. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel, and then if there be no man to save us, we'll come out to thee. Now this is a very strong and ugly demand that's made upon them, of course, and they needed deliverance. And what is going to happen? We are told in verse 4, Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now we read in verse 6, And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. He took a yoke of oxen, hewed them in pieces, sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. You notice how he identifies himself with Samuel. I do not think at this particular time the name of Saul could have stood alone, but he identifies himself with Samuel and says, Now for them to come. And they come. They come because of fear, but I think fear in two directions, not only from Saul, but also from the Ammonites and what they would do to them. Now we are told that Saul and the people, Saul put them in three companies. That's in verse 11. And they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered so that two of them were not left together. And that is really scattering the Ammonites, let me tell you. Not even two of them. They were each man fleeing on his own. And verse 12, And the people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. Now, you see, there was opposition to Saul on the part of some. But Samuel ignored that opposition until the nation is united back of Saul, and now the opposition is dealt with. And Saul said, There shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, Come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. Now we find here in verse 15 that all Israel now except Saul is king. I'm reading. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Now I'm sure that there's somebody going to say, Well, now, preacher, you see you were wrong. You were very much prejudiced against King Saul, and look, he's making good. And certainly started off on the right foot and seems now to be a great king. But let's keep on. It's too bad maybe that the story doesn't end here, but it doesn't.